Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm going back to where the beach is near, the beer is dear, there's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around in Manhattan, along the Strand, and smoking at your back. By the riverside, it can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Gary Bride and Bride playing out over the fence. Out in the field of Cotton. Jesus,
Hello, everyone. Welcome to... We're back from our summer holidays. Oh, I'm going to cramp my leg.
That'll be a cramp in your voice box, but no, you were practicing it on Sunday.
Oh, my leg. Hello, welcome.
Great start.
I don't know what episode it is after our 3 week hiatus, our summer holidays. How was your time away, lads? Where did you go, Ross?
It's pretty hard to remember.
We went to Rocco Parade.
I got to Rocco Parade myself on the Saturday night in Kennedy's for the Lions. That was the first kind of foray back into the local pub scene, and thoroughly enjoyable.
Nice vibe
down there, yeah.
Town was buzzing.
Good vibes.
It is good. It's good when it's like that now down by the river. Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday was...
The Fords were about floating around.
Eric Ford got a shouter right to come over to me, but he decided not to.
The music playing in the car park, it was a nice touch.
Yeah, I didn't hear that now. I was too involved and invested in the Lions match. I have to apologise to you, Ross, actually.
Oh.
I tried to make a joke on Sunday night to a gang about not liking you, not getting along with you, and it just went down like a lead balloon.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Was I there?
You were there, yeah.
Jeez, I don't recall.
One of your, I think the girl who works with you said, that's not nice, but I thought I was trying to be funny, but I wasn't. So there's my apology out of the way.
Well, cheers, thank you.
Anyone else? No?
I suppose I have to be apologising now, do I?
No.
So apparently I'd like to apologise to all our listeners, because there was 1 week there where I was probably incognito. But the last 2 weeks there, the lads have enjoyed their holidays as well, it has to be said. But I apologise for Sunday. The Sunday after England won last the Euros.
The Euros.
Yeah, that Monday now, there'll be no podcasting for me that Monday.
Jeez, the Euros seems a long time ago now, doesn't it?
It does.
Some hangover that Monday over in England for a few people, let's say.
Yeah, especially to get the flare-up as Arsene.
He was proud as fuck, actually. He was interviewed by a lot of people. He was proud as fuck, yeah. He was just like, he's like, oh yeah, I was fucking...
Is he an old man or anything?
I was high. Whatever.
Do you remember the guy from the 2018? Like, the man was in his 50s who was being held shoulder high to the pub when I was stitching him. Do you know that photo? Yeah, the balls in the air. Gonna have to top it there. What a week for Mona, lads.
Yeah.
So Mona McSharry weekend.
I assume we don't need to have a dancer of a week this week, do we?
No, she's gonna win it for our first double winner.
Jesus,
wow.
She's won it twice now.
Fair play to her. She's at.
We had her on before the Olympics and it was a great chat with her, and then she romped through her heats and so well. I know she won it. Was it the semi final? Just
point,
by a,
point
a
one second.
Of a
finished,
second.
Finished, yeah, 100 of a second. Yeah.
And then to finish eighth in the final of the Olympics is outrageous for a 20-year-old from, I don't know, from Grangeley.
Yeah, it was actually. I just seen yesterday. She's just like, oh, I need to reset my goals now and aim higher. Was what she was saying yesterday, straight away after the thing. But listening back to the interview again, I listened to it again yesterday. And as you're saying, that's probably my biggest problem is that I never sit in anything. I'm always aiming higher. So she's. She's onwards and upwards.
For Paris in 24.
She's a good role model, isn't she?
She is a great role model. I nearly look up to her myself. Yeah. I started sea swimming.
You have started sea swimming, actually. Yeah.
I love it. That was last Saturday in the morning at Strand Hill, just to call him over, there was a load of this, a crab went by me, and I was like, fuck that, I shit myself. So into the
Well, I was talking to Strand Hill, there was a big jellyfish.
I was going to say, that's where I went out to Ross's Point then, and lovely swim, lovely. In there for half an hour, and the fella goes, oh, did you see any? But he's a professional swimmer. He had the swimsuit on and the pink, the orange boy and all, and the goggles. Did you see any? And I go, no, not actually what he's on about, like. And he goes, oh, there's a few of them about. I said, oh, there is, yeah. I thought he meant swimming.
A few characters.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, watch the ones with the red circle. And I go, what? And he goes, and I hadn't noticed one of them. The whole time I was there on my own, and he said that, I looked down, and all I could see was jellyfish.
Same in Trinidad, I was out in Trinidad last week, they're everywhere. Washed up on the beach and everything, it's mad.
But they reckon they're not getting eaten because of overfishing, that's what Jesus. I was told. Yeah.
Oh, so the fish aren't eating them?
That's what I was told.
It's the compass jellyfish now, they're causing puck. Yeah.
Compass?
The compass jellyfish.
What about the Portuguese man of war, they're still about.
They were big old devils, yeah.
Any nice food, no? Around in the last 3 weeks?
Three weeks. Oh yeah, big shout to Chef Kebab.
I was waiting for you to say it.
In Roscommon town. I was thinking of a driving home today. Jeez, that was lovely. I can't.
You were actually very taken aback by that. Yeah. You were talking about it hours later. Still.
It went to top three to top one.
Jesus. The aftertaste.
It was just, it was perfect. No, it's the special kebab.
Oh.
So there was kebab meat, obviously. I think there was some sort of chicken. Then I said there was like, I don't know what it was. It was like them deep fried onions or crispy bits of chicken in there as well. And I don't even know what it was. Could have been grease from the middle.
And did you eat it while driving or did you pull in for this one?
I went up and sat in the square and I was coming down on my own and had a pick of myself. Like I was sort of licking my fingers. That's when I went up to watch Sligo and Roscommon under 20s. So it was
your first match back in Hoyle.
Three penalty points on the way.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Where?
Just up before Castle Baldwin. And where are you going? Oh, Hyde Park. Just on the phone. Hyde Park. And I wasn't even on the phone. I picked it up like. And then he chatted me about the match for about 10 minutes. I was like, I sure let me off now, but no.
Gave it a point.
Bastard. You're too old to be playing football. You're too old for under 20. And I was like, oh, I am, yeah.
And the sweet talking didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Hello, officer. Pretty.
Yeah, that was my first Gaelic match back, and I'm going to the minor game on Friday evening. Looking forward to that. They're playing later, but we'll talk more about that later. What else? Competition winners, lads. We've got some prizes dished out in the last 3 weeks. Paul Kelly picked up for Daniel.
Yes.
He won the Guess the Score and the player for the Connacht game. I presented him at the Carter and Strand match with a big crate of
Lochgill.
He was very happy in the
20 gills.
He was very happy in the photo that he sent in his SCW attire.
Which seems to be ramping up.
Yeah, and Kevin McHugh got his care pack from the Rovers. Kieran Keaveney won the big.
Oh, aye.
What was that competition again?
Harvey Norman.
The Euros thing. So he's, that's on the way to him very soon, the 20 gills and the voucher. So that's that. Anything else, lads? Oh, the Wings of Sligo competition has the kickoff. That kind of went under the radar this week because we got our commentary gig with the Rovers, so that took over for us.
Yeah.
There's a good few suggestions in. Eagles Flying was one of the favourites.
What?
That struck me as a surprise, yeah.
Huh?
They do Wings out there, yeah.
At the place where the birds are?
Are you serious? He meant the Wings of the fucking birds.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I was thinking they hardly had a bit of food out there, like, beside a gift shop or something.
Yeah, we breed the birds ourselves and then we cooked them into a delicious meal.
Yeah, there's actually a horrible image of that, really, in there. Like,
oh, eagle wings are delicious. Now, lads, all the standard hitters are in there. Someone suggested somewhere in Ballina. I don't think it could.
No, you can't go there.
Yeah,
no. They did give Ballina to Mayo back in the 1650s, but
we're the Sligo Way podcast. TJ Ford, Murty.
Yeah, great win in the South of Ireland.
First Sligo man doing it.
Unbelievable achievement, I suppose, for. Like, the South is basically the southern version of the West. Like, so you've all the top amateur golfers in Ireland playing. And, yeah, no, it's a serious achievement to win that and won it well and probably has a good chance to be picked now in the home international team, which would be a huge achievement for him. So, yeah, fair play to him. Very impressive.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to go to our correspondence? A few questions are in.
Yeah, let's jump into it, Jeff.
Okay. Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, a few bits in, lads. There was a lot in over the last few weeks, but just a few bits that come in just in the last about 20 minutes we'll go with, okay? Where to go? I'll start with a question for you, Murty, actually.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, comes in from... What's the name here? Jimbo Jones. How many hours were you consecutively awake from approximately Friday morning until Sunday morning?
How many times was I what awake?
How many hours consecutively were you awake from Friday until Sunday?
Ooh. Well, Friday night we had the big game with Carberry that I assume we'll discuss later. Sorry, yeah, it was captain's out in Strand Hill, so I woke up at I had a few pints after the game on Friday night, just take the edge off. Woke up at 5 to 6 then for captain's out. I was on the tee at 6:50 in Strand Hill. But then actually, now, funny, someone must know what I told this story to, but I ended up out Saturday night and ended up at a house party, but I was walking back in the door to my apartment on Saturday night, Sunday morning, I suppose, and there was an alarm going off, and I couldn't figure out what the alarm was for, but it was the alarm from the previous day that was going off, so I suppose I was up 24 hours.
24 hours in the so, right.
Yeah. And then, of course, we had the couple to take the edge off on Sunday, so yeah. I didn't have that much sleep this weekend, but I had sleep.
Yeah, okay. Question in for you, Ross, from Fionn MacL. Ross, you old fuck, you never played rugby. That's just what that says.
Is that a favorite question?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a.
Is there some background to that?
Look, that fella, I can't really comment for fear of being bludgeoned to death. But I want to wish him best of luck for the Old Wesley fifth team this year. It's definitely not a step down from the Clontarf first team, but it's probably a good springboard for Fionn back into professional rugby. So
this is the guy who's threatened death on all of us, and also thinks
family members as well. Yeah,
also thinks that Murty is me.
Yes, oh, actually, Murty. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you have to watch me back. I heard.
Yeah, no. He's definitely going to maul you someday. and do you know the way I kind of envision it? Do you know what in Stone Cold Steve Austin? Do you know what we used to do, the jumping pounce and the load of punches? Like, so I think you're going to be walking and he's going to jump nearly like a cat jumping in the air. A low tees press, I believe it's called for the wrestling guys.
How there's a photo of us in the dugout in the rugby club was out and he's calling Ross an old fuck.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how come up with that was me in the middle. He goes, "Oh, you wish that was you." And then he's pointing at you. And like then the threat he's going to get me. Like that. So
someday now you're going to be as happy as Larry walking down Rockwood Parade, and you're going to get the low tees press.
What's next? Okay, it's for me actually. Adrian, are St. Mary's favourites for the championship, the senior championship? Oh, tricky one. I would. No, Tour de Strand has to be still the favourites, definitely, but...
Are they the second favourites?
I would think so, St. Mary's definitely. I think they have a serious, serious panel. It's their
stacked... We'll talk about the old groups later, I think.
Yeah, they're stacked with players, St. Mary's, that they're some top-class players transferred in and that, so... They're probably not the bookies' favourites, because Tour de Strand... How could you not have Tour de Strand there, but they're very close, it's it. Who's that from?
I have one for you, Ado, from Aaron Clerken, Wee Clerken.
Okay.
Absolutely loving the podcast, men. Been in Vietnam the past year and half. So the shy talk is very much enjoyed. To Ado Mac, what is the best Quayside Rovers / ship in memory? For me, it was Owen McHugh scoring a inverted comma screamer inverted comma against Carrick on a wet Sunday. I'd be curious to hear your favourite ship in memory.
Jesus Christ.
You brought out some great chance actually just before you answered the question on Sunday night. You had five Quayside Rovers chance that were amazing.
Yeah,
one of them was set down to someone actually.
Sorry? Yeah, Willie. I was saying.
Oh, it's Willie Manning. Yeah, yeah.
some good times at Willie now. That's a tough one on the spot. Some good times. Ship in memories. I suppose remember the time we robbed the bathtub and brought it onto the pub. That was good fun.
Darts.
Oh Jesus Christ! Yeah. We'll talk about that another.
Darts was borderline. Well, trouble with the law.
Yeah,
only partook in a couple of games. Then,
let's sleep in dog's lie, maybe. on the dirts.
Oh, there's loads of stuff there. What else? Just the karaoke down there. The Huey Lowry, just throwing your shoes at him. I can't remember on the spot.
I think he's more looking at a match moment.
Yeah, well, they were the days, like, you'd play the match at 11 and you'd be in Tofts, or Envy used to be out on a Sunday, actually, most times, with your shin guards still on at 2:30.
Good days.
There was great days.
I used to love McHugh warming up in front of Keogh, trying to get the 3 minutes.
It was something outrageous. There was some wild match stories there.
You enjoyed a second half comeback?
We did. We were notorious for going down early. The time me and McHugh came late, I think we'd only had 10 players. Me and Hindsey, sorry, we were dressed as snooker players from a 21st night before. We caught across the pitch with cues and all in hand. And Keogh goes, "Ah, look at that steady." He goes, "Right, go on. Left and right midfield." And we were 4 down at half time. The Gallen comeback to 4-4. And of course, we went in the beer all.
Were you playing somewhere like a Clare or something?
It was someone like that. It was a Clare, but we went 4 down because Clancy was in goals.
Oh.
And they scored 4 goals with only one shot on target. Now, if you try and figure that out, it was a windy day now. There's a few long clearances that dribbled in. I was in goals one day and we scored, and I'd out celebrating half a line. I should have tipped off and scored straight out. I was still out the pitch. Scored. And Keogh go, "You plonker." There's some wild stories. I can't remember. The first cup final was outrageous. Were the pots and pans up in my sherry bar.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, good times. And good to have a listener in Vietnam. I'm clerking. Petey's father served us well.
Top man, Petey.
Yeah.
Good question in here now. It's a broad one now.
Yeah.
Comes in from David Goulin. Who will win the Olympics?
Oh, right. Jesus. France are usually good.
I like the Russian Olympic Confederation.
Federation. Very sneaky.
Yeah, they're rebranded now, aren't they?
They are rebranded. Yeah.
This time we're back, but now we're clean.
The Soviet Union. I thought you guys disbanded. That's what we want you to think.
The Olympics is great, though, isn't it? I found myself...
it is.
I was watching badminton earlier, thinking to myself, geez, I'd be very good at that. And I was texting one of the lads. I texted Sao actually about it, saying, you know, we should try and get a game of badminton. And all he said, he goes, "I would just tee it up for you to smash it every time."
Shuttlecock. Tough game. I tried it before.
The Chinese Taipei fella did well now today.
Yeah.
Against the Irish buck. But there's some great sports in there.
I was happy to see Fiji take the 7-0
note. Did you see the guy? Was it Daniel Kelly shared? This guy, if you go on his Twitter, some guy's in his 60s, like a middle-aged man from Mullingar or from Longford. He's in his 6th one in a row for shooting. But it's not even shooting like it. You have to go into it there quickly if you can find it.
Yeah, go on, talk about it.
What else were you watching? I got up at 2:30 this morning to try and watch the 7s rugby and it wasn't even fucking on.
Was it not on? I watched the USA one. That was on it.
I didn't get up at 2:30. I was still up, actually, to be honest. I won't lie. I couldn't sleep.
Derek Burnett.
Yeah. What is it?
Oh, I'm actually going, who the
fuck? Derek,
but DB. Big DB. Yeah, I might get him on the pod.
Probably good, yeah.
He missed out on Rio 2016. Oh. So it could have been a record 6.
Secret virus, no doubt.
Yeah, he's a trap shooter.
What's a trap shooter now?
I assume it's when they come out of the trap and go...
Oh, that's a skeet, no?
Is it,
I used to have...
Skeeting is something very different.
What's skeet? Explain.
Anyway.
No, I'm not going there, yeah.
Why, is it rude?
I believe so. Hold on, I'm going to do a quick Google of it here.
Skeeting.
Anyway. Derek's sitting in 25th position after day one, so...
Get your act together, Derek.
Well, he's got a current total of 70, so as we all know, like, 70's not going to quite be good enough.
No, it's not good enough.
He'll have 2 more rounds tomorrow, so he should... Right. With the hopes of securing a top 6 and a place in the final.
Come out of them traps, you want to go at it, Derek, straight away. so what are we going to say? The Russian Confederate... Hot skating, so you're looking up here. Spit it out.
Spit it out is quite on the market. It's the ejaculation of sperm, slang word, skating.
Ejaculate what?
Of sperm.
It's called skeeting.
Skeeting.
There's something else to that. There is.
This is what I'm saying here.
It's while you're doing something, is it?
Look, that's what I'm saying here.
Move on from skeeting.
Anyways,
That's the members only blue side of the podcast. That's later on.
Members only.
excuse the pun.
I think was Holland in with a question there, you was.
Yeah, good one. So who's going to win? The Russians are going to win the Olympics.
I'm happy with the Russians, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was delighted for that Bermudan one there the other night that won the triathlon.
She must have some Irish blood somewhere.
She must have, yeah.
Big Duffy.
Yeah. Because that was kind of training. I was debating whether to stay awake from all of it. I ended up setting the alarm, but I seen who was ever was doing the walking. Now, we still haven't clarified whether I was dreaming or not, but
oh, yeah,
he did mention the Jack B. Yates stat that we brought up. I'm pretty sure he must have got it from our podcast. Yeah. So.
Who was it? Hugh Cahill, no?
Des Cahill? Or was it your man, John Kenny?
Oh, John Kenny, yeah. Well, John, if you're listening, stop stealing stats from our podcast.
Or at least reference us, anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, now, where are we? All right, so Going with the holiday team.
Yeah, because we're all away on our holidays.
Yeah. Is there any resorts where any... This is from Stephen Holm, by the way. Is there any resorts where any of the three of you could not return to due to previous holiday misdemeanors?
Yeah. A few bits there, no.
Well, you managed to make it back to Grand Canaria for a second time.
Twice,
so.
Yeah. I only kind of went into lads type holidays ever, so Grand Canaria twice.
Yeah.
Hellacious,
the second time the tour guide, someone getting on the bus back to the airport, and what's the verdict? She goes, it's a sad day for Irish tourism. They were her words, because the morning before, what happened? This was the second time we backed the reception, we couldn't find the key to our apartment, so me and big staff, Brian Hines might have been there as well, realised that the couches and reception were full of beds. We were really, so should we get in? And everything off was very hot, so not a stitch on us, there's no blankets, and we slept through as people were checking out, like walking by us, and just this receptionist shouting, Policia! Policia! And I was like, oh no! Just running these naked bodies, trying to run down the reception.
That's something happened when we were on our 17-year-old holiday to Manchester. We all went in a beer in the hotel the night before the airport hotel.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, yeah.
And then we woke up the next morning thinking it was the alarm clock, but it was a fire alarm.
We were on the beer again. We're going over to United and we stayed in the airport. We really spoiled ourselves for that one.
Yeah, we did.
Just stayed in the airport hotel in Dublin the night before, and we rang down for an alarm just because our flights are some crazy hour, 6 o'clock, like, and
so we asked, yeah,
and for the call, and just alarm was going off, but
we thought,
pure groggy, like, dying and out, pure
strolling,
out in the fire brigade, and everyone was there, everyone's back in the hotel, turn us the fire alarm.
We, for some reason, thought it was the hotel wake up call.
What time was it?
6 in the morning.
The place was fully evacuated. We were just strolling like, can't wait for this trip.
Any other holiday destinations?
No, I've none that I'm barred from.
Won't say barred. I have a few outrageous.
I was going to say about our first leaving cert holiday with poor old Johnny Bellew. Nearly got impaled on a girder.
He did get impaled on it.
We were up chanting. I think we were going through the English national team. David Beckham is a homosexual, going from 1 to 11. Big chance were going on anyways, and Bellew fell backwards off the wall and landed on some sort of a lamppost that was cut off.
I wasn't there at this time because me and staff came late.
Yes, you came late.
We flew a few hours after you.
But she came late, but geez.
We came in fine style.
No, so what happened was then I saw he was in a heap. He got up to start chanting again, "Old John, the warrior he is," and then fainted. So I was like, oh shit, so I picked him up. I said, right, better get this fella, saw the big cut in the back, I was like, better get this fella to the hospital. So A1 staff arrived in the sieve at this stage, and I was like, here lads, go back to the hotel room there and get Bellew's passport, he's going to need it for the hospital. Sound, yeah. And actually I think it was staff who said, yeah, sound. So I head off in a taxi to the hospital with Bellew, with Jack Barry, I think, got there, sitting there for about 2 hours, and they wouldn't see him until the passport arrived for his insurance details. It's like, for fuck's sake. So I had to jump in the taxi from one side of the place, go back to the hotel room. The boys were fucking starkers, just drinking, chatting to the neighbours over the balcony. Like, so for fuck's sake.
We forgot.
It's like, boys, Bellew's passport. And oh yeah, sorry, man. So I fucking got the passport back to the hospital, got back there, and then the guard was holding a fucking gun to Jack Barry's. Your friend, he is not all right. Like, it's like, whoa, to settle him down. Then went in and dealt with Bellew, and your one goes, down, what were you drinking tonight? And I was like, oh, he's drinking a bit of beer. And Betty's like, I was drinking vodka.
So this was the holiday that it turns out there was an undercover reporter from The Independent with us.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Hines was on the front of The Independent?
Oh, jeez, I totally forgot that happened.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't believe that.
I was trying to find it earlier, yeah. The
Someone
article.
Has the article.
There is an article.
And people listening in, you mightn't believe this happened, but it was a Leaving Cert holiday, and
we befriended
turns
an
out
undercover
this woman was there, but she was an undercover journalist.
And all our parents knew it was us. Like, it was a gang of 50 lads.
It was
Hinesy wearing his three-quarter length FAI Ireland pants. And you can see Hinesy's rat tail as well. And this one was on top of him. Like, and then he was taking it out.
She straddled. And then
his buttocks exposed.
One of the Sligo boys hurled abuse at the African vendor selling watches and all this stuff. And I was like, scandal. Yeah. So I landed into... We got all going on Sunday morning, and Sunday Independent hit the shelves with this expose on.
All the parents, like, they knew what was us, but didn't know what they were just...
That actually
it's outrageous.
The best. So anyways,
but you were being tossed at night with the paper.
So Hinesy in the bistro, they all bought it in the bistro or something, and they had it in there. But just to finish off on Bellew's thing there, they were like, okay, bring him home now. He's to stay out of, you know, stay out of water and everything. So bringing Bellew back about 7 o'clock in the morning. And Gary Clancy was just getting up, obviously been asleep all night, and came in and pushed Bellew into the pool straight away. Like,
that's a good holiday question. I think we're allowed back. Murty, do you have any?
Not really, no. Do you know, actually, a funny story came into my head earlier.
I've got plenty of trips.
Yeah, there's a few stories or two now from trips to the UK. Nothing wild in the sun. But actually, this is, I don't know, I was watching episodes of The Simpsons earlier. And you know that one where Lionel Hutz has the no money down?
Yeah.
But we were, I don't know, I was watching an episode earlier. And just at the question came in, remember Kilchamar was our teenage disco?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So I ended up, myself and Brian Kenny ended up getting barred from the Chinese in Kilchamar of all places. So she had a thing on the wall basically saying, no credit cards, or no debit cards, credit cards, whatever they were at the time. No cards, please. So obviously we gave the, put in the comma, and the exclamation marks would say, no cards, please.
I actually so
she comes out with the food, and I don't even think we had cards at the time, but we were waving cards at her. She's like, no cards. No, you're asking for cards. That's really got nothing to do with anything. I just seen that episode of The Simpsons.
There's another, just about Kilchamar, I think we were all in the alleyway beside the fucking nightclub. I think we were smoking and drinking, like just being young fellas, and the police came and took all the names, like, you know, so I said, oh yeah, gave it a fake name and then gave the fake phone number, and then I went on, I left him then. I was like, oh shit, I'm after giving my grandmother's phone number. So about the 2 years after that, I was always worried that they rang the house.
Ah, your holidays in Kilchamar. There's only one other question in, really, I can see, and well, it's not a question, it's RF, and he sent in a photo, just a photo of a comment on Twitter from himself saying, you'd miss the Carvery dinner. That's just it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
More of a statement again.
We might have to get to Henry's.
Oh, wait, here we go. Daniel Kelly, where would Mark McSharry have finished in the 100 metre breaststroke?
Oh, yeah. The question is,
actually,
what ministerial position would Mona McSharry have now if she's in Fianna Fáil? She certainly wouldn't be sitting up the back bench like Mark.
No, she's a spokesperson.
Marty, you had a few pints at the Mac attack.
I did, he showed up on your birthday.
He showed up for a nice touch.
Took a lovely photo. Yeah, I think things turned sour that night, actually, for, I think part of the group might have been questioning some of his ideals, and I don't think it went down too well. So, where Mac have...
Where would he finish?
I'd say he would have got through the heat in the last second semi-final.
I can imagine him in a big, long pair of corduroy shorts. He wouldn't wear the Speedos. Like an old dad on holidays or something. graceful, though. Very graceful in the pool, is Max. So, semi-final knockout?
Yeah. We got that.
Okay. I think that's us, lads. We'll come back with football, so... Busy day on the pitches around Sligo, Ronan, the football scene. And a busy day in the commentary box.
A busy day in the commentary box is right, Adrian.
We made our commentary debut on Sunday for Sligo Rovers versus Cork City.
Yeah. Enjoyable. You enjoyed it?
I loved it, yeah. It was very enjoyable, though.
The crack was good, though, in fairness, yeah.
It was good. Just, the build-up to it was unreal. There was people in town more giddy than...
Yeah, than we were, yeah. Like, even that time in Foley's, leaving Foley's, like... Yeah. Teresa Foley was present.
We were like heroes, yeah. Foley's put on a plate of sandwiches and cups of tea for us. Beforehand, before we headed up to the showgrounds.
That was a lovely touch.
Yeah, it was a nice touch, right. And it was a big walk up where cars were tooting at us, beeping.
There was, we couldn't even recognise half the people.
Call into St. Michael's Family Life Centre for a second, just for a brief pit stop. It was very enjoyable. A few random facts thrown out. Some of them may have been stretching the truth.
Nobody seems to have questioned them.
No, Micah Hakkinen hasn't got in touch anyway about his
image,
about his uncle playing, or his nephew playing centre back. But. It wasn't a good result. It wasn't a good performance at all. 3-2 to Cork. Cup.
Jeez, it's funny, really, since we had the break in the podcast, things have...
Yeah.
Do you know? We were looking forward to the second leg of the European game, I think, the last time.
It was the first or second, I think.
I can't remember
the
first one, yeah. But
we were after beating Bowes 4-0.
Oh, was that the last time
we
did
so.
One?
I think so. I could be wrong there.
Yeah. In that case, then, yeah, it has...
It's gone to shit.
No, it was after the Longford game, after I stuck up to the Longford game. But yeah, disappointing results in Europe. Then a disaster unfolded for the following Sunday, and yeah, followed up by last Sunday. They weren't very good on Sunday. It was worrying.
No, they weren't at all. And we kind of tried to talk Cork up a bit, but they weren't much better.
At the end of the day, they were second bottom in Division 1. So yeah. It turns the match against Dundalk this weekend into a huge game all of a sudden now. Like, you know, it's just... It's been an awful, like literally an awful 3 weeks. Yeah, it's
a lot of, well, I know Liam Buckley had said before the Cork game, it's been an awful 2 weeks or whatever, but the performances are pretty good, but yeah, it wasn't good on Sunday, and Cork had three chances and got three goals really, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Now, look, there was obviously, you know, we actually still haven't never heard what happened to John Mann. Oh. You know, we were calling him Shane Blaney. Someone's in the eyes, but... No, like, I mean, that's no excuse anyway. I know we ended up with a back four that would be probably nearly a second choice back four, except for Lewis Banks. But yeah, they had three chances. But like, Rovers didn't create a whole pile. McNulty gifted the first goal.
Even the first goal, yeah. McNulty gifted that to Romeo Parks.
You know, I know they had all the ball and stuff, but what did they really create? Like,
absolutely nothing. You know? And when Keane Coleman won every header, big CC.
You're a big fan of him?
Well, just for being a nuisance. Like, yeah, he actually did win every single long ball. And when you're away from home in the cup, it's a big thing. And then BBW up front, Benny and O'Brien, Whitmarsh.
You took a huge eye on him now. I know, everything he did it well.
He got second goal, first goal.
He got the first goal, yeah. It was a great goal.
And then he got the touch to get the ball back out to the box for the third goal.
Yeah. No, it's just very disappointing. Like,
it was a disaster, really.
Yeah, and like, you know, the cup is the cup. Like, it's, yeah, you know, you win a couple of games, you're in the quarterfinal, you know.
Well, that's
and then you look at the draw this week, and like, Bulls and Shams have got each other, and like, Derry are playing Hearts, yeah, and you know, what it kind of opened up a bit.
It would have. I know there was a lot of people very disappointed afterwards, but.
Yeah, there was a bit of a. It wasn't a great mood around walking down the road now, I don't think.
No, and you walked at a fair pace, too.
I was thirsty.
No, it was this. But like, it are Rovers going to win the league? No, probably not.
Well, I, you know, kind of said all year that they've been punching above their weight now. But
yeah, but does it make the end of the season a bit?
No, well, I lull think, now, or? I still think, you know, I always said it during the year that I was always watching that gap to fourth, and that gap is now 8 points, like, so yeah, that can very quickly be gone. So
big
like, at the minute, I think you just got to reassess. Like, nobody thought at the start of the season you were going to win the league.
Well, no, that's true. Yeah.
So, like, I think if you just settle down, finish second or third, like, there is still a chance of winning the league. Like, you know, like, Shams haven't been great, and now they're moving on in Europe. Pats aren't a great side. Like, you know, if we can just click back in. We have been kind of funny. Like, when we win games, we're winning 4 or 5 on the bounce. You know, so hopefully this weekend is the start of another run like that.
The only thing about the run of results, there hasn't been a huge run to the ground loss in the league, only for the Waterford game.
Only for the Waterford
game. It's been two European games and a cup game.
And a cup game, yeah. So, look, if you're going to have... Look, we still have a chance to win the league.
Yeah.
You know,
we're going to win the league.
We're going to win the fucking league, is right. Yeah.
Dundalk at home on Sunday, so look forward to that.
Yeah.
Junior soccer, a festival of football, a feast. A veritable feast. Board of football put on over the weekend by Kennedy. Fair play to you.
A veritable feast, Aero, yeah. So I suppose I only made it to one game. Now, it's actually a weekend I should have been making lots of games, but you know, things get in the way.
Yeah.
So obviously in the final of the Super League Cup, we played Carterton United, played Carby on Friday night.
Clash of Titans.
Great game. I must say it was a great game. Huge crowd there. I don't know how many people were there, but
I heard 300.
I would have probably pushed a little higher than that. I would have thought
really,
close to 4. Yeah. The stadium was pretty much full, and then there was people the whole way around the ground. So, yeah, I don't know. It's obviously hard to estimate these things, but it was a good game. We probably slightly shaded the first half. It was 1-1 at half time. Then Carby were very strong in the second half, really came at us. Then maybe the last 5 or 10 minutes, we kind of came back into it a bit, but they were the better team in the second half. Extra time then, I think it was kind of a case of we'd probably try and get the penalties, maybe pick them on the break. John Belly rolls like a salmon at one stage in the second half with a powerful header, but I did a couple of great chances as well in extra time. But yeah, I just came down to penalty shootout.
I know it was only the warm-up league really, but was there much excitement? You know,
there was, yeah. Like, I mean, once you're there, I mean, like, it was a warm-up league, but you know, obviously not that we've that much of a history, but we've played a lot in the last couple of years now. So, you know, there is a bit of needle in the games. Like I thought, you know, they had a very strong team out now Friday night. It was proper feisty stuff, you know. Yes. We would have ended up with a good few yellows. Yes. I'd say they probably did too. Who scored? Abraham Savage got their first goal. Great goal. He powered one at the near post. And then Enda McGowan equalised with a penalty just after that. But anyway, it ended up going to penalties. And Carby missed our second one. We missed our third and our fifth.
Okay.
So that was that game. Then
the spoils go to Carby.
Then Saturday, I seen the Super
Premier League conversion. Oh, sorry.
No, it's the played final of the Super
Saucer
League.
Saucer Cup final.
So this was MCR against Real Tubber. I think
Mail Coach Road versus Real Tubber. Yeah.
You love the Mail Coach Road.
I do.
But I think this was. I think Raf had a game with Derry.
Yes, and he came home.
He came home for the last 10 minutes, I think. Yeah, yeah. From
crazy Dada. Commitment.
Crazy commitment. But they NCR won 1-0. Bradley Fowley got the winner for them.
They have quite a good team, MCR, don't they?
Oh, MCR very good team. They absolutely battered us on pre-season friendly.
Yeah,
so.
a few experienced heads. Like.
Yeah, just what I was talking about Super League. Like, should be a good Super League next year. Like, Carby are very strong. You have Manor coming back. Strand are good. MCR are good. You know, there's a lot of good teams. Tupper have a nice young team as well. So, yeah.
So that's the Super League plate.
That was the plate, yeah. So that's MCR won the plate. They're moving on to Sunday. The final of the Cup in the Premier League. Colliery Bows beat Glenview 4-0. I suppose that'd be nearly a local derby. Owen Nicholson got a penalty in the first half after about 20 minutes.
I believe the bouncer was playing, actually.
Seen a picture of him, right? Yeah.
Connor Griffin got the second. I think Paddy Hurdy got the third. Sorry, Joe Kilcullen got the third and the fourth. So, and I don't think it was as comfortable as the scoreline suggests out there.
Okay.
And then to round off the weekend in the Premier League play-it final, Ballygawley and Enniscrone met and... Ballygawley ended up winning 3-1. That rounded off the weekend. Yeah, as I say, it was great competition, great to get back. And the league kicks back off on the 29th weekend, the 29th of August.
Okay, there's a while to go yet for that. Yeah. Okay, thanks for that, Ronan. That's us with football wrap-up. We'll come back with Gia. Okay, just a brief enough GA section this week. Hope to do a championship preview next week, maybe the big one. But we'll start with the County Hurlers. Their unbelievable season came to an end there. They lost up in Owenbeg to Derry in the Christy Ring semi-final.
I've seen that goal, Gerard O'Kelly got. Great goal.
Great goal. It was on the BBC. It's 28 points to 17. So only 5 in the end. After Derry looked like they might pull away at the start, but they really rallied back. So good thing. Great performance again. The goal, to see the umpire losing his flag.
Yeah.
The BBC, BBC Northern Ireland.
I'd say that's why the BBC put it up now.
Yeah, it was unreal. He lost his flag and he couldn't seem looking around for it. But
I assume that Derry team would be probably backbone by Stock Needle, wouldn't it?
Well, that was what I thought. I was thinking after Derry footballers got knocked out with Donegal, I wonder was your man Chrissy McKay going to come back around them? I don't think, know if they did, but they would have a lot of Stock Needle players, yeah. Club hurling and Derry is obviously strong, Sligo. It was a great year, and I'd say they're going to stay. They're obviously doing Christy Ring again next year, so that's consolidated now, and they're not going to fear whoever comes up from the lower division or maybe even comes down. So
yeah, and there'll be no Offaly's hanging around.
No,
next year.
I'm not sure who's going to come down or has come down or what's the story there, but yeah, good year. And the under 20s lost their All Ireland semi-final to Derry as well in the park last Tuesday or Thursday.
Tuesday.
It was a scorcher, so they lost as well. So look, they both finished off with semi-finals. I think there were two good campaigns, and there's loads being built on there again. Football, the County Minors, Sligo Football Minors, under 17s are out on Friday evening against Leitrim. A good bunch.
Any word from the camp?
I know a few involved in it. So supposedly, yeah, a good bunch. I think they bet Fermanagh last Wednesday, 7-24 to 8 points or something. And then they've beaten Tyrone up in Tyrone. I think they ran Kerry quite close down in Ennis. So they're supposed to have, I think they're a team that's been together a good few years. They missed their whole under 16 year because of COVID. So, and they have a home draw against Leitrim. That's a semi final as well. So that could.
Who's on the other side?
Gawler's Calm Mayo. I'm not sure which way it's. I'm not sure which way that's structured. Who plays who there?
I think Ross Calm back Mayo. I might have seen a ref tweet about it.
So. There's a chance to get to the Connacht final. I know the Miners got to the Connacht final last year again, but Sligo football definitely needs something like that as a pick-me-up big time, massively. So big chance for them on Friday. What day is it today? It's Wednesday. So 2 days' time. I'll go through the club scene for a second as the fixtures are out for the first few rounds of the Senior, Intermediate and Junior Championship. So might just run through the first round fixtures, lads.
Yep.
In the Senior Homeland Championship Group 1, Round 1, it's Colliery versus Coolara Strandhill. That's going to be in Markridge Park on the 14th. At the same time, St Mary's play Curry in that group, which is in Killarney, which I don't think has ever really hosted a championship game. But
they're doing a good job out there now.
Oh, that's class, lovely pitch, yeah. You were out the market out there.
The economy markets, yeah. What the hell were they? The alpacas, yeah. Saw a couple of alpacas there. Lovely creatures.
Come on.
I was really impressed with the bit of community there. Like, everyone was out, obviously, from all ages, all different teams, all helping out with car parking. It was a real community effort, but I thought there was a good vibe out there now.
So Oh yeah, so St Mary's Flickery in
what
our
time
our,
of night
in Alpaca Park.
Alpaca Park.
Is that a Saturday?
Saturday's at 7, and in group 2, Tour de Strands, I was going to drive for 6, what rhymes? Sexy
mix
six.
For six.
Mix for six. In the mix for six. Yeah. Six. Tour de Strands going for 6-0 day start against Shamrock Hills in Caoimhe, I believe. Yes, Father Brenny Park. That's and then Drumcliff, Ross's Point. Face Giva in Conley Park.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Tom Jones singing Six Bomb.
Yeah.
For Thursday.
maybe. yeah. He actually played Tom Jones, would you believe, a gig in Banana Hall. Banana Hall before in the 90s. I was up with it.
Is this a true story?
No, it's not.
Oh, we're getting sucked in tonight, buddies.
Group 1, Round 1, Colliery Clara, Mary's Curry. And Group 2, Round 1, Tour de Strand, Shamrock Hills. Drumcliff, Ross's Point, Giva. Intermediate in group 1. So it's Enniscrone versus Eastern Harps. So Harps back down. Well, back down. They haven't been down intermediate and I don't know when. I never heard them in intermediate before. And Tour de Strand, second team, plays St. Meloche. So St. Meloche will be the heavy favourites for intermediate championship. But Tour de Strand seniors proceed to bet them in the Kieran Cup final on Saturday evening. 4-14 to 7 points.
I've seen that, Jim.
Meloche were going well. I'm not sure what team Meloche had, but another Kiernan Cup, another win for Tour de Strand. In group 2 in the intermediate, it's Castle Connor, St. John's in round 1 and Eastkey versus the Bunnies, Bunnanadden. The junior A then, that kicks off the next weekend, so it's the 21st and 22nd. Pats v. St. Michael's in group 1 and St. Meloche, Clunacool. St. Meloche's second team for Clunacool. Also, that's a tough group now. You have Pats, Michael's and Clunacool all be quite strong in junior A. And in Group B, Omar Gales versus Killarney Mullabrina's second team and St. Mary's second team versus Shamrock Hills' second team. So, Omar Gales have a group of second teams in there. So that's all the...
And who'll be the favourite today, Al Junior there? Omar Gales?
Look, they're going to be in the same final, so maybe. They're beating in the final last year, but Pats, I'd have Pats down as favourites. Myself, there were a few boys back. Michael's
Simon Coulter's back, isn't he?
Simon Coulter's back.
Shout out to T Squared, who you met on Sunday night.
T Squared, yeah. I'll go into this in a second. Pats, Michael's, Clunacool. Like, one of them are going to go out. Where they'd all be thinking, like, Michael's were intermediate last year. So one of them are going to go out.
They enlisted the Summer Bay Brigade, though.
Intermediate, I'm going to say St. Meloche, definitely. I would think. And Tour de Strand for senior. Yep, that's it. It's going to be exciting. We hopefully do a championship preview next week with the football. So it's just a brief one today. Now, who's T Square, by the way?
Oh yeah, he was just a character from here. I just know he plays for St. Pat's.
Oh, he does, does he?
He does.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think he was from Sligo at all.
Oh no, yeah, he's from Sligo. Yeah, he.
Okay.
Yeah, you enjoyed his company now.
I did. Yeah, I had a few shouts at him, but I was calling him Tom Terrence. But
I don't know. Saturday night, he got the name T Square. Not really sure where it came from. There was no two T's in his name, but. Anyway, he said he was going to listen to the podcast this week.
All right, well, we'll be looking out for T Squared and there's some Pats versus some Michaels on the 21st of August. So, best of luck. He's a new friend of the pod. Okay, Robbie Ross, we'll be back with you.
He's made 5, 6, 7 yards. A great bullock of a man, this fella.
Grubber kick.
Up and under. Very own.
How's your rugby going this weekend? Where are you starting?
Well, we thought we were back last week against the mighty men at Tuam. We were supposed to be playing them in a friendly last Saturday, but they...
Tuam Tuggers.
They rang me Friday afternoon, they had a COVID scare, so I had to err on the side of caution, and that friendly pulled off, unfortunately. So now, second service, we're back at it again this Saturday. We're playing Monavay in Monavay on Saturday, so... Fingers crossed that goes ahead, because it's been a long time since we've been on the paddock, and all the boys are really, really looking forward to playing a match again. So
that's the first
friendly match. So
it's the first, it's just first
and only friendly, really. Like,
no, the first team, sorry, first 15.
Yeah, mixture of first and seconds. Okay. Like, everyone is there at the moment, so we'll play a couple of 20-minute periods, maybe 4 20s, and everyone will get a hit out. And then we'll have a week off, and then we are back into the Connacht Senior League at home to Buccaneers on the 14th, and then the second team are playing Westport at home on the 15th. So it's going to come pretty pretty thick and fast for us now.
TNF.
Yeah, so Simon Gavin's settling in now. He's back into the swing of it. He's going really well. So delighted now to see him start to put a stamp on the team, and Joshua Reeves is finished with Brazil in terms of the World Cup campaign.
They can't qualify.
Can't qualify now. They lost to Uruguay at the weekend, and they lost to Chile previously, so that's them out of the repechage. And He is finishing up now and hoping a visa coming through pending. That's the only thing that's holding us up now. He'll be here with us in 4 to 5 weeks, so he should be ready to go for the Galwegians match, which is our second match.
Second AAL match?
No, second senior league match.
But oh, so there's a break after the first?
Yeah, so we're playing, Buccaneers, then Weegians away, then we've a week off, then we're playing Ballina, and then we're playing Corinthians.
Are Sligo away me and Trudy at the Buccaneers match?
Yeah, I think we could tee that up, yeah. I think we definitely could tee that up.
I've changed that even, actually, so we'll see.
We'll see
what I'd have to really push up my knowledge. But I'd say I could probably bluff. I could bluff a half, maybe.
Definitely, yeah, could, definitely.
And what is happening there?
We bluffed the Rovers again.
See what random relations are playing for the Buccaneers team.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is happening? Yeah, no, so signings. We have a new fella coming over, Stefano, another fella from the Samba Brigade, played for Brazil and played sevens in the last Olympics for Brazil, actually, as well.
Right. Yeah, and so is he like a singular name like Socrates and Pele? It's just called Stefano.
Yeah, I can't actually pronounce it.
Oh, sorry. That's a pity, actually.
But if,
we
can, if you can give me a second here, I can try.
Let's call him Stefano.
So he played. Yeah, we'll just call him Stefano. Yeah.
Put him on the jersey as Stefano.
So he's played at the Olympics.
Played in the Olympics.
Very good. Very good.
Olympics.
Oh, no, the Rio Olympics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's coming over now, so he'll be a good addition to the
squad. Where is he playing, Ross?
He's wing in 15-a-side or 9 in sevens.
Wing. Is he young enough?
Yeah, he'd be mid-20s, so he's coming over now. Him and Pedro are both arriving on the 8th of August, actually. Pedro's back from holidays as well. Big Bengalo.
Big Bengalo is right.
Yeah, so looking forward to...
And is that Joshua Reeves signing, is it?
Yeah, Josh is bringing him with him, yeah. So he'll be his fella to bring over, yeah. So he actually has an Italian passport, so it works for us because he's a EU player. So Josh has taken up our foreign slot on the roster this year, so Stefano can come in as an EU citizen. What else has happened? Yeah, so just two. Hannah Johnson just announced today that she's moving to Railway Union in Dublin to play senior rugby, which is really good move for her. They play well; they're very good. They're thereabouts in the AAL 1A for women. So best of luck to Hannah there. And also Conan O'Donnell finally officially can announce that he's signed with Canterbury over in New Zealand. Canterbury, obviously, probably one of the most successful NPC sides. So congratulations to Conan.
He's the man of many clubs. Yeah. He must have some connections around the world now at this stage.
Yeah, they're all kind of, kind of the same path of people, bloody Kiwis. In fairness, I'd say he's an unreal fella to have in the squad, so best luck to him in that campaign. What else is happening, lads?
What do you make your beloved Lions?
The beloved Lions, it's good crack now. It's kicked off a bit. I'm really enjoying
The fake Twitter account.
The fake Twitter account, yeah.
See this?
Jacko Johan.
Ridiculous
stuff.
Yeah. Razzie's such an absolute snake. He's brilliant. I love him. Like, so the crack is basically this burner Twitter account. He keeps coming out after the match being like really humble, saying all the right things, saying, well-earned win for the Lions. They're going through a tough time away from their family and loved ones, and COVID is really tough, so fair play to them, nothing but respect here. And then 2 days later he's like retweeting off this this fake Twitter account, Jacko Johan, who is this like perfectly clipped video of footage that's only available from match cameras. It's not like Sky Sports footage clipped together.
Yeah.
It's quite clearly the in-house camera views, and it's all these incidents clipped and circled like professionally. This random account is putting it up
but
there.
I know if you went back to his history, if you went to Munster, his likes from back to 2017, it's likes
started
from
when he started with Munster.
He's got a character, Razzie.
Yeah, he is. Brilliant. But they're saying, like, this week, the whole media, it hasn't been about his team or the players. Like, it's been about this Twitter account. Like, and he's just laughing at it, saying, like, Johan is actually Razzie's first name, like.
It's Jacko Johan. It's very good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's actually laughing. But it picked up there now. It was a test match, an arm wrestle,
Let's hope the British Lions can win the second. I don't like the Lions.
No, I don't think. I don't think they will. I don't think they'll win the second or third test. No, I don't think they will. No, I think that's. I said originally Lions first test, South Africa second and third test.
They're all in Cape Town now, aren't they?
Yeah. So
well, hopefully for the spectacle that they don't win it.
Yeah,
because you want a big shootout in.
Sorry, I've one last thing from the local rugby report. Our beloved Seagulls, our Sligo third 15.
Ah, yes.
Adrian, you've talked out for them before. Mm-hmm. I've talked out for them. They are commencing their campaign this year.
The Gulls are back.
The Gulls are back on the 22nd of August against Dunmore Seconds.
My birthday.
And there we go. It's a ten-a-side competition.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole pitch.
Yeah, it's ten-a-side, yeah.
That wouldn't suit the goals, I know.
You know, but but the thing is, I think if both teams, I think that we went for ten-a-side just to be sure that we'd have enough numbers.
Yeah.
But I think that if you were looking like you have 15-a-side, you can ring the club that you're playing and say, listen, how are you fixed? Have you 15 as well? And then you can play 15.
Is that WhatsApp group still on the go? I had to leave it.
That WhatsApp group is still on the go.
There must be 70 or 80 people in it. Like.
Yeah. And they
I'm sure you're 10
they
of
they struggle to agree on training times.
It's fucking hilarious.
It's every morning, everyone's very pumped for it.
And how do you line up a ten-a-side?
What? Like, well, you'd have your it's
full forward.
Five forwards, five backs.
Oh, yeah,
five-man scrums, yeah.
I thought there might be a 6-4 option there, maybe. But.
So, but the thing goes, a call to action, if any of our, any listeners who've ever, any interested in playing a bit of rugby, coming from any of their sports, or just wanted to get involved, these lads, you can just turn up and train. You can just turn up and play, actually,
you'll
to be honest
with
you. You'll get your game, like, so. Really can't stress how, you know, everybody's welcome. Put some stuff up on the social media.
I made a fatal
media.
Mistake my last Gulls game.
You got injured, did you?
I did, yeah. There was a knock-on.
Where were you then?
I think it was flanker. I shouldn't have bothered picking it up. I should have just let the ref fucking blow it or whatever's going to happen. Because we're going to be knocked on again in 2 seconds anyways. It was us who knocked it on. I went and picked it up. And this absolute... Like, I weighed me. I was a bit thinner then. I was 2 stone lighter. This man was in a 20-something stone. Like, he's a prop. Came and just... He kind of stumbled, run over to me and landed on me and just, like, done the ligaments in my... I just landed on my ankle. I just took...
It's a very random mix.
It's ridiculous.
Young fellas, very old fellas, and then fellas who just
never played before.
Training, and yeah. Then, yeah, but it's like,
it's almost a danger at
times. It is, but the men of Carrick, the Carrick team were ginormous. Oh yeah, so it's the Carrick and Shannon first team.
Remember
is
we,
in that league.
Oh right,
it's their first team. Yeah,
I remember we played the touring American side with 50-year-old men.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was unbelievable crack, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a crack.
That the touring American side.
Yeah, yeah. Portland.
Portland, the
Maine, Portland, Maine, yeah, yeah. That was
they brought saltwater taffy to us.
Yeah.
My last Gaelic game actually was against a touring Canada side that Kipper had brought over for the World Games or whatever.
Oh, and yeah, yeah.
We played in our game with the Mountain Colliery and... yeah, Kipper was actually running the show, so we had to send Gary Golden on to him for the second half. And Gary, in our exhibition match, Gary stuck to him like glue, so he didn't.
you can't be touring matches and teams coming over and playing and the crack afterwards. Like it's
and
just it can't
like
die out.
Clara that time, the same time as that.
Yeah,
good fun. So the goals are back in action. That's very good. We're back with a little wrap up, will we?
Yeah, that'll do. Okay. Yeah.
So, lads, that's us done for tonight. Very enjoyable to be back.
Good to be back.
Good to be back, yeah. Hope everybody's enjoyed.
Haven't seen new faces. It was good to chat you around the town during the week.
It was great, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, what?
I take myself out of town now. You know, I've seen enough of towns, so I try to get out of town.
Yeah.
Like,
What were you saying there, Ross?
Well, I was just saying it was nice to get back out seeing pubs and restaurants and the old indoor dining starting up again. So, if people are out and about, take pictures of your pints and dinners and tag us in it.
You might know us during, we love food. So
any new items on a menu or anything like that?
Yeah. So anything like that, put the hashtag SligoAwayPod.
And the place you're at.
We'll
give them a bit of exposure,
give them
I suppose.
The boost they need, because it's good to get the town back going again.
And I just like seeing pictures of pints, to be honest with you.
Yeah, any special shout to Bess Kebab, who gave a box of just kebab meat the other evening out. It was lovely. And Subway... Nacho pockets. I didn't have them though. I just seen them on the menu. So that's a new thing I've seen now.
Jesus.
Nacho pockets, snacks. So we might put this clip up later. So if you need anyone around town, a bit of advertisement, we'll share it to our vast, vast army of eaters and drinkers. Okay, lads. Leave it at that. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Bye.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking
around the final second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers are the champions.
By the riverside,
well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Get it right and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the field of Cotton. Jesus,
in the bookie shop, I don't know.